Good to see everyone this morning. The elders had some things they wanted discussed and some announcements made, and I was talking with Zach. I said, it's going to take about half the time, so why don't I just go ahead and put a lesson and an invitation in there with it at the same time. So that's the reason. And Zach, it doesn't hurt to have a break every now and then anyway, so I'm sure he will appreciate that. Our presentation is going to be a lot different than what the way I usually present a lesson. What I usually do, I have it, I'll write out a manuscript, everything that comes to my mind, you know, and then I'll make me a short outline from that. But I'm not going to do that this morning. A wise preacher once told me once when he did funerals or weddings that he always wrote everything down. So I'm going to do more reading than I would normally do in a lesson. Back when I was preaching on every Sunday evening for a while there, I always kept something at my bedside, a notepad and a pen there. When something come to me in the middle of the night, you know, I would jot it down, and hopefully I could understand what it was the next morning. A lot of times I'd look at it and didn't know what it even was, but it wasn't the case this time. I didn't have a pad there when I woke up, and so I stumbled into the study room and sat there and wrote a few things down in the evenings. I'd like to begin simply a question. Why do I attend, why do I worship here at the Saratoga Church of Christ? Now, as Pam and I were married and started attending services, that's something that we agreed upon, is that we would find the church that was closest to the New Testament, to the example in the New Testament. And we came from different backgrounds, but we agreed upon that, and that's something we followed all of our married life. And we would not be worshiping here today if we did not feel that this body of believers was as close to the New Testament example we have of the Lord Church that we could find. That's why we worship here. Because we do feel it follows the inspired word of God. Matthew 16 and verse 18. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Of course, this is based on Peter's statement a few verses ahead of that, when Jesus asked him, who do people say that I am? In verse 16, he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. The saints here, the deacons, the elders, desire that the body that meets at Saratoga is truly the Lord's church. We should all attend here because we believe that the worship is based on the words of inspiration, that we worship as the New Testament church did. We worship in spirit and in truth. For our text this morning, if you want to follow along, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, we'll read verses 11 through 16. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning and craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, we grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We find in the scripture that we read here different abilities coming together. The whole body fitly joined together. Our recent BBS was a good example of this very thing. Some were teachers, some were decorators, some cleaned, prepared the building, some cooked, prepared a meal for everyone. Some brought tables and chairs and fans, and some put tablecloths on those tables. All kinds of supplies. Some helped by paying the rental of the pavilion. Some helped purchase food, drinks, decorations. It was a group effort. It was wonderful. If just one individual became closer to God as a result of our BBS, or if just one individual 10, 15 years down the road starts to think, I want to be more like Daniel, it's all worthwhile. It was a good thing. We all came together and did this work. Many made sacrifices on BBS. A lot of people sacrificed their personal time to be involved in this. I'd like to read from Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Some of your translations will read there, which is your reasonable worship. We find here what we would call individual service or individual worship. These sacrifices, which is your reasonable service, as King James reads, or others read, worship. In other words, this is our daily life. The things we do in helping other people, talking to other people, individually. This is considered a sacrifice that we take our time, that we could be doing something else, or our effort that we could be doing something else, and again, we do this for other people. Our everyday walk of life, this is our individual worship. Well, how do we do it? I've kind of given a few things there, but let's read 2-5 now. It explains how we go about this individual worship. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. So again, it's everything we do in our life. This is our individual worship. But when we say worship, That's usually not what we're talking about. When we just say, I was at worship, or we worshiped last Lord's Day visiting another congregation or something. We were out of town on vacation. We worshiped there. We are not talking about individual. We're talking about a public form of worship. We are talking about a coming together of the saints to praise, to honor God, to edify one another. That is the body of Christ coming together, the members coming together to worship, to praise and honor God. Acts 20 verse 7, a verse we use a lot. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. We find two elements of worship right here in this one verse here. The reasons they came together to break the bread or the Lord's Supper, and also, of course, the preaching. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, it talks about they came together for a collection. Colossians 3, 16, Ephesians 5, 19, teaching and admonishing one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual song, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There's so many verses that have to do with coming together. You ought to just take a personal study and go through the scriptures there, looking at all this of the saints coming together, the body of Christ coming together. What I would like to do very quickly is to take a quick look of the acts or the elements of worship. Some of you youngsters here, you may wonder why we always do basically the same thing. We come in and sing and have a prayer, read the scripture, preaching. These are things that we find in the scripture, the reasons that we do this and not other things. Purpose of worship, as we mentioned just a second ago, praise, honor God and our Lord Jesus Christ, to edify one another. Acts 20, verse 20, Paul taught publicly and from house to house. That's in Acts 20 and 20. Think about that for a moment. Paul taught publicly and from house to house. The public teaching here, or preaching, evidently refers to the church assembled, the coming together in a public nature, a group here, a body. House to house, then, would be anything outside of this public assembly. Outside of this assembly is a great way to teach. The elders are, as we look down in verse 28 of chapter 20 there also, are in charge, as they're made overseers, to feed the flock. So we choose to have class and a worship time, a class of Bible study, a time of worship. We all come together. We have meetings. We try to have two a year. Here lately, that hadn't been possible. We do our BBS program, ways here to teach in the house-to-house sense. In other words, outside of the worship time. So what makes up our worship then, the functions or the elements given? 1 Corinthians 16, 2, 2 Corinthians 9, 7, both of these refer to giving. I'm just going to give a couple of scriptures on these. Each one of these is a sermon or a lesson in itself. Another reason we worship, edification, to build one another up, to promote another. Ephesians 4:12, as we read a moment ago. 1 Corinthians 14:26, both of these refer to building up one another. Prayer. Acts 2:42, 1 Timothy 2:1-2, Ephesians 5:20. These verses refer to prayer. The Lord's Supper, that we observe each and every Lord's Day. Matthew 26:26, Mark 14:22, Luke 22 beginning in verse 19, 1 Corinthians 11 verse 20, 1 Corinthians 10 beginning there in verse 14. Called the Lord's Supper for a reason, isn't it? The Lord instituted it. He's the one that put it in existence. Sometimes we refer to the Lord's Supper as communion. The word communion is a joint participation. When was this communion, the Lord's Supper? We know from Acts 20 and verse 7, they did it upon the first day of the week. Singing. Well, there's several places singing is mentioned throughout the New Testament, with the two most common places we use, Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16. And sometimes our young ones may wonder why we don't sing as the denominational world sings. Why don't we have the piano over in the corner? Simply because it's not mentioned in the New Testament. We have no authority for any such thing, for mechanical music, but the music of our hearts. Since there's no authority for it, we simply do not do it. Again, this is a lesson within itself as well. Another element of the worship, teaching or preaching, as we've mentioned already in Acts 27, the reason they came together for that there. So our public worship then is the body of Christ coming together. Now I'm going to kind of change directions here. I'm going to read Ephesians 4:16 one more time before I go into this next part. From whom the whole body, or the church, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The elders have spent hours on the discussion of our live stream program. Prayers, nights without sleep. We met several weeks ago, and our decision was to make no decision, but to pray, to read and study, and we would meet again concerning live stream on another date, which we have done. We've contacted many individuals. We've talked to many preachers, many elders of other congregations, and we do not want anyone to think that this was a spur of a moment decision. I assure you it was not. Each and every elder had mixed emotions, mixed feelings about this. When COVID first got bad, the governor recommended closing the churches. The elders discussed whether or not we should stop meeting at the building. After services, a group of men, we also discussed the very same thing as to what we would do. So we decided at that point to meet in our homes for a period of time. After which, the live stream program was introduced when we started doing this. Soon afterward, many were not comfortable with this arrangement. Was it public worship? Was the body of Christ coming together? Was the assembly taking place? Were we coming together as a body to partake of the Lord's Supper, as we see in the New Testament? Was the whole body fitly joined together? We all know that it was not. When we first started coming back and worshiping, I'm getting off of my manuscript now. I told myself I wasn't going to do that. But that was the best feeling I believe I've ever had in my life. Didn't realize how much I took it for granted, the worship. And it felt it felt so good to be back with our brothers and sisters. Back to the live stream. Is it good? We can see a lot of good in it. For our members that are not physically able to attend when the body comes together, they're able to view via live stream. These individuals are not physically able to make it to the assembly anymore. They've been faithful for longer than a lot of us have even been on this earth. Does the Lord expect them together on the first day of the week? I don't think so. If they're not physically able to make it, I don't believe the Lord expects them to be here. He would like for them to be here, and they would love to be here. They're just not physically able to do so anymore. So viewing the live stream, that was a good thing for them. There's also the possibility of reaching some outside the church. We have some to log in from other states, other areas, from time to time. And it exposes them to have a chance to hear the gospel preached. When individuals are sick and need to stay at home, again, they can log in. And this congregation has done such a great job in that. When one had been exposed to the virus or something, they would self-quarantine and they'd stay at home. I don't know how many here have done that through this. Would not take any chances, but would stay home during this. Got off of it again. Now I don't know where I was. So it was good for those that could stay home during these times when they were sick and be able to log in. But if you would stay with me and let's look at the other side of the coin, if you would. Could it possibly become a crutch to some? Could our live stream program cause some to stay home that could be here and just log in? Could our live stream actually become a stumbling block to some that's capable of being here and not here? Is it easier if we're on vacation, on a shopping trip somewhere, out of town, camped at the lake, in the deer woods, hunting trips, whatever, to just simply log in as opposed to finding another congregation to worship in? I believe it was Russ Dave was telling me about. Said it's a possibility just make lazy Christians even more lazy. But some questions come up. If it was good enough during COVID, then why isn't it good enough now? If it was worship during COVID, why isn't it now? It never was the body of Christ coming together. Live stream is not a substitute for worship. That last statement may ruffle some feathers a little bit. That live stream is not a substitute for worship. I wish I could take credit for that quote, that line, but I cannot. A preacher that most of us, or a lot of us, love and respect so much, a preacher that has influenced my life more so than any man on this earth has done, said live stream is not a substitute for worship. Harold Turner. But Harold, like the rest of us, is a man. He's entitled to his opinion. So let's go back to the scripture. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10 and 25. It's not easy, but the elders have decided that the live stream program will not be a part of our worship service. If just one person left the assembly for live stream, it would be one too many. Our lessons, our sermons can still be heard. We can get on our web page as we did before and still listen to the sermons. You know, there's a lot of great possibilities with the internet and things and Bible studies and things that can be done. It just cannot be a substitute for our worship. We hope and pray that you see where we're coming from. Our main concern is that every member of the Saratoga Church of Christ hear the words of our Savior, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter in." Or as Jesus said also in Revelation 2 and 10, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." We all have to help each other obtain eternal life. We can't make it on our own. We have to come together to edify, to build one another up. We have no plans to ever close these doors again. And I hope and pray it never, ever happens again. That the Lord's church in Saratoga will always meet. We plan always to assemble on the Lord's Day. If the government, if COVID raises its ugly head again, or if a storm comes and flattens this building, which is only a building, we are the church. We are the body of Christ. Or if there's a foot of snow out there on the ground, I hope we try our best to meet somehow, somewhere. If we don't have a building here, I bet we can meet in David's pasture in front of his shop. We'll find a place. It's the Lord's church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So for those that are physically able, or again, if there's a foot of snow on the ground, those that can safely get here, I hope the church will always meet. Again, if you do not agree about ending the live stream, We hope and pray you try to see where we're coming from, that our decisions are not without concern, without feelings. Our decisions are out of love for our brothers and sisters that come together to make up the Lord's body here at Saratoga. The elders have the responsibility to feed the flock. If an individual misses out on heaven, they just missed it all, haven't they? If our names are not in the Lamb's Book of Life, we've missed out on it all. So for that reason, we're basically ending the live stream. If you're physically able to come, please come together and worship with us. If you're in another area, another state, and you're not attending a church, a body of believers, find one that follows the New Testament, the Scriptures, and be a part of the coming together. If you're not able physically to come together with the body of believers, you've been faithful through the years, I wouldn't worry about it. A crown of life awaits you if you are faithful unto death. And again, I hope you try to understand where the elders are coming from. It is our interest and love for the brothers and sisters here that we all spend eternity in heaven. We would like to offer an invitation at this time. If there's one here that is not a part of the Lord's body, if you've never confessed Jesus as the Son of God, if you've never repented, never been baptized for remission of your sins, that you'll have opportunity to do so, that you may also be a part of the coming together, part of the Lord's body. Again, I know I speak on behalf of all the elders. We love everyone here, and we love to see everyone in heaven for eternity. If we can assist anyone this morning, will you come as we stand and sing this invitation hymn?